Even if you feel like you've lost yourself in motherhood or business or whatever it is, like I say in the article, like that version that you're looking for, she's still in there and you will find her. It's just keep showing up, keep fighting for what you know is right and fight for your family and stand up for that. And that will lead you back to, you know, that person inside of you and whatever your version of home is.
Hey, we're Jan and Erin, the real mother and daughter duo behind the multi-platform brand Trailblazer Co.
We've been on the winding road of entrepreneurship together for over 23 years. We've learned a ton about each other, but more importantly, we've each developed ourselves into the women necessary to carry out our biggest dreams.
In 2020, we launched an international keepsake magazine called Trailblazer, where we tell the stories and share the wisdom and know-how of rural women across North America.
It's been a wild ride, and every day we wake up with grateful hearts to be so immersed in the values and grit of these women. We've been witness to the bold actions, gutsy attitudes, resourcefulness, and the trailblazing traits that modern rural women have.
These characteristics allow them to create wholesome, bold, intentional lives, and we're here to deliver and help you explore these traits and attitudes so that you can develop the trailblazer in you no matter where you live.
So buckle up, we're diving in deep to the values, mindsets, attitudes, and tools of trailblazers to help you cultivate a life at the crossroads of grit and passion. Full circle moments. Who doesn't love a good full circle moment?
I don't know. I love it because it's part of storytelling. And so today we talked with Amber Kindler, and it was a wonderful conversation about someone who had grown up with the values and the lifestyle of ranching, like being on a horse at 5 years old and going out with her dad and rounding up cattle, and, you know, and then life happened. And so we dove into the messy middle of that, because Amber now has come back to living 7 miles from where she grew up, but it's different. She's got a husband, she's got children, they're building their own ranch, their own herd, their own legacy. And I think you're going to find some bits and pieces of yourself in there, because we talk about the journey, and it's the journey that women take in finding ourselves, in finding that voice,
and listening, claiming the life that we want and
absolutely
how we want to get there.
Yeah.
So Amber was a contributor to our spring 2024 issue 14 of Trailblazer magazine. Her article was titled "Back in the Saddle: A Journey Through Life, Motherhood, and Coming Back Home." So here's a little bit about her. Amber Kindler is a Kansas ranch wife, mama of two, and a lover of the rural ranching lifestyle. After meeting her husband, getting her degree, and coming back home, she was called to leave her teaching job and raise their babies. She set out to trailblaze her own path as a business owner and writer. And after facing many challenges, she's gotten back in the saddle in every way, as a woman, mother, business owner, and by getting back to the place she's always felt free, on the back of a horse. And now they are building their own legacy. So
I just encourage you to listen with the open-mindedness and the heart of somebody being true and transparent about some of the struggles and challenges.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the perfect Instagram board where everything looks beautiful. Amber talks about challenges in resolving differences of opinion on ranching with her family of origin and her husband, and how they've maneuvered through those times. Things that most of us will deal with, you know, with family at some point in time.
So, yeah, the muddy parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
You're going to be able to see yourself in many side steps of Amber's journey. So
yeah, tune in.
Amber, welcome to the Trailblazer podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm so good. Thank you guys so much for having me. It's an honor.
Our pleasure. And I was going to say our readers, but yes, our readers and our listeners are in for a treat from this conversation today. As a follow-up from your article in our spring 2024 issue that we're all eagerly waiting to get off the press and send you a copy. So
yes, but by the time they hear this podcast, they'll probably have it in hand.
That's
yeah,
right.
Totally.
Yeah.
Anyways,
okay.
Welcome.
Before we dive in, just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, where you live, what you're all about.
Yes. So my name is Amber Kindler. I am from very rural north central Kansas. So I'm actually about a mile from the Nebraska state line. So we always kind of say we're like in this like middle of nowhere zone. We're not really Kansas. We're not really Nebraska. So I grew up 7 miles from where I live now. I always joke, like, I just keep inching myself down the same road. When my got married, we moved 7 miles from my family's ranch. And then where we are building our house is just 2 more miles down the road. So I will be on Buffalo Road for the rest of my life. But I'm a ranch wife. I'm a mom of 2, almost 3, baby 3 coming in June. I will find out in 2 days. By the time this releases, we'll know what we're having, but I find out in 2 days what we're having. And I am a former teacher. So I taught for 4 years. I taught 3rd grade for 1 year, kindergarten for 3 years. And when I found out in 2019, I was pregnant with my son, I had always known that I wanted to be home with my kiddos. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, helped on the ranch, raised us. And I just always knew that that is something that I wanted, even though I'm very Enneagram 3, like driven, goal-oriented. I always knew that is something that I wanted. So then as soon as we found out, I was like, okay, what do I have to do to make it happen so I could stay home? So found my way into freelancing, and I've been a freelance copywriter and marketer for going on 5 years, which is crazy. So that's been able to let me stay home with my kiddos, and we've welcomed my daughter since then. So I've kind of dove into the whole business world, which was so, I had no idea any of this existed 5 years ago when I was a teacher. And I've always had a passion for writing. So I love that I can use my passion for writing to help others. But also I've always, in the back of my mind, wanted to share our story and our story of growing up on the ranch and then my husband and I. And so that's kind of how I found you guys. I was in a community of real women online and somebody sent me the shout out for the, when you were taking spring submissions and they were like, you have to do this. And I was like, yep, I do. So I said, I've always kind of in the back of my mind thought, okay, someday I want to have a blog all about our life. But I felt like this was just like the perfect starting point that came at the right time. So
oh, absolutely. And hey, congratulations for leveraging your education and your writing skills into a business, because I think there's a lot of women who would love to know how to do that, but don't always know which skills to pick to do that with. So that's awesome. I'm going to share this a little bit that I asked you to come back twice when I was editing your article to flesh it out really more, a little more, because there was, I knew that there was some gold in there, and what I'm going to refer to as gold is, you know, when we see Instagram, we see the beautiful pictures and all the rest of it, but we don't really get a look, you know, behind the scenes. And we haven't actually interviewed anyone on our podcast who grew up ranching and all the things and, you know, circled back around. I mean, here you are even living just 7 miles down the road from where you grew up. But I'd like to start off with, tell us as a young girl, you know, I don't know what age you first got on the back of a horse, but just what that day to day, month to month, year to year was like living, you know, out there in Kansas. I don't even know what the scenery of Kansas is like. So please describe that. We live on the prairies.
Yeah.
And tell us what that was like and what kind of values did that instill in you as a young child? What kind of beliefs did that plant in your mind, in your heart, as to why that was an important lifestyle for you? So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah. So where we're at in Kansas, we're very much prairie here as well. So summers, you know, I got on the back of a horse when I was probably 5. And I remember distinctly like summers gathering cattle, working them, giving them kind of their summer shots. And I remember I would be up at 5:30 with my dad, like, okay, let's saddle my horse up. Like I absolutely loved it. And it was, you know, looking at my dad now, it's funny to me that he let this 5-year-old girl tag along with him and our hired hand on horseback, but he did. And it was something that I looked forward to. And I remember, you know, if they were ever working cattle while I was at school, I was mad that I couldn't be there. I was like, I just stay home from school. But I distinctly remember in my early years, you know, going through really, really terrible year upon year droughts in the summertime, and then some of the worst blizzards where we lost calf after calf after calf. So where you say, you know, it's not always going through the wildflower fields, that's very much my experience. I feel like I got a very good sense of the hard part of ranching. I saw my dad go into depression, you know, after years of drought and not knowing what to do, and then having a year that was looking up and then having blizzards completely take you out. So I feel like I really saw the value of hard work and showing up every single day, even though you're not in control of the weather, you're not in control of the markets, and just continuing to stay the course because it's something that you love. Looking at my dad now, we've since bought out the cattle side, but you know, I cannot see him doing anything else. It was never like he was going to completely give up. And so that's kind of something that's been instilled in me, no matter how hard it is or how much you want to give up, continuing to just put one foot in front of the other. So that's really been something that's kind of stuck with me through all of those experiences and things that I've learned. But I think also along the way, I learned maybe what I didn't want for my future, because my husband and I now, you know, we want to be a family. We want him home for supper. And that wasn't always the case, you know, for me growing up. I remember in the summer, I don't really remember my dad being there. He was always out, you know, working late and doing what he could. And so I think a lot of it for us now is how can we still make ends meet, make money, do good, but also balance that family. And I think that is a big part of my husband and I's kind of focus, is how can we set this up to be more efficient so that we can make a good living, but still have a really, really great family life.
Do you think that outlook then is based on kind of the next generation? You look at, because we have a lot different opportunities in the world than we used to. Like here we are talking through a computer screen. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, that wasn't a thing. So do you think you and your husband are part of this generation that are leveraging technology and other kinds of things to help you grow your business?
Yes, definitely. My husband's very, I think the word innovative is what describes him best. He's a researcher. He went to school for beef cattle management. He probably could have figured this out without a degree, but I think just those experiences and the people that he's been able to connect with. He had an internship on a huge ranch in the Sand Hills of Nebraska, who's like world known. And I think just those experiences and the things that he's learned, he kind of saw like, okay, the world is moving this way and we have to move with it. So what can we do to be more efficient, be more effective, market our cattle certain ways so that we can make a good living, but also to keep up with the times? Because what worked 20 years ago or 40 years ago is not probably going to work now. So how can we evolve with the times, but still stay grounded in all of that? I think is a big part of kind of what we're doing moving forward, and kind of how we're setting up. We've kind of set up the cattle operation, when bulls are turned out, when calving season hits, the way we graze, all of that looks very different from the way my dad did it. But he can kind of see just from his experiences and the things that he learned, like, this is what works in this area, and this is what's going to be best for our family, best for making a good income. So kind of evolving with kind of the times.
Do you ever feel stuck in your life, or like you're not completely aligned with your unique strengths and talents? Or maybe you want to do more and be more, but you just don't know how?
We want to change that for you. We're going to help you explore the parts of you that are gutsy and resilient, the parts of you that have been shaped by your life experiences, the parts of you that want to live your life on purpose.
Take the Discover Your Trailblazer Traits quiz today. It only takes 3 minutes. This quiz will show you how your unique combination of traits has helped to define how you see the world and your place in it.
And here's the truth. We all have these traits, but we have them in greater or lesser degrees, which makes us all different. When you are certain about your unique value, then you can really shape the path you walk in your life.
Take the Discover Your Traits quiz today, and we'll help you forge a path that feels like coming home. Visit our website, www.trailblazerco.com/traits-quiz. That's TRAITS-QUIZ. Or find us over on Instagram at trailblazerco and DM us the word traits quiz all together. And that's what I was going to ask you. Would you say that the internal motivation to be innovative and try and, is there a new way to do something to be more efficient? Would you say the internal motivation is to have more of a family life balance? Because I know probably what are the top three words that you would think of when you probably grew up seeing your dad run the ranch, and it would be sacrifice, right? Like so often the ranch comes first, the well-being, like the cattle, all that comes first. And do you feel that you're changing that or on your way to kind of reinventing what that lifestyle looks like for a modern family, ranching family?
Yeah, absolutely. My dad, like I said, he kind of grew up being raised by his great grandparents. And so I think he didn't always have that male role model, you know, as a father figure. And so that, I think, kind of went into the way that he did things. He of course loved his family, but he felt very much like he had to, work had to come first. You know, we have to keep this going. I have to be out here doing this. And while of course that's true, I think my husband and I are seeing like, you know, yes, the ranch has to be important, but family still has to come first. And how can we make those things work together? Of course, there's seasons of sacrifice. Calving's coming up. I know he won't be home for supper every night, but how can we make it the best that we can? And I think really kind of going at it as a family, like we go with him a lot. And, you know, I went with my dad a lot too, but it's just different. It's sacrifice, but still being able to put your family first. And just setting it up in a way that that is possible. And we don't feel like we have to be out there every waking moment, if that makes sense.
Well, I know I think about it too, even with cell phones, I would, you know, guess like, let's say 40 years ago, the man heads off for the day and his wife doesn't hear from him or see him. And hopefully he's going to be home. Well, at least there's supper still looking decent kind of thing. So you think about it, you got a cell phone, you can text, you can call.
We're all so much more accessible.
Yeah. That connection is happening all the time. And I want to say too, the innovativeness for you to leverage your love of writing and the skill that you would have gained, you know, through teaching a very traditionally woman's career and probably a lot of ranch and farming women, teaching or nursing, you know, those were kind of income off the farm kind of thing. And you've leveraged it into a business. So how's the business going? How are things going with that?
It's great. It's great. And I think I mentioned to you in one of our conversations, I'm kind of at a point where I can't take on more clients. I'm kind of at that point where my roster is full, which I am so, so blessed by. But I've also, you know, over the last 4 years of running a business from home and raising kids and having a very busy husband, I've recognized the seasons where I'm like, this is a season of mom has to come first or family has to come first and I have to take a step back. And so I'm kind of planning for that when this third baby comes, because I distinctly remember, you know, I'm very, like I said, very Enneagram 3. When I set my mind to something, I'm going all in, we're making it work. There's no other option. And so I remember, you know, having a newborn and I had just started my business and I had, you know, multiple clients and it was great and I loved what I was doing, but I was so burnt out. It led to me being very anxious and on edge and me being a workaholic. My husband would come home at, you know, 8 o'clock and that should have been family time. And I felt like I had to work. And so I've definitely navigated that over the last few years too, of having to kind of accept and lean into when it's time to take a step back from work, step into that family role and be okay with that. And that was really, really hard for me because, you know, I had reached X level in my business. I had this many clients, I was making this income. And in my mind, like I should be able to sustain that forever, but that wasn't the reality. And I think that's something that a lot of women struggle with is, you know, you get to this certain level and you don't want to drop off or dip below that, but you just feel like you're pulled in so many different directions. And that's definitely kind of how I felt. And so then when my daughter was born in 2022, I kind of had to take a step back. And then this year I'm realizing I'm going to have to take a little step back, but I feel so at peace with it now. And I think a lot of that was just having those hard conversations with my husband. Like, I need help. I can't do this. Like, can we make this work? Like, how can we work together to make the finances flow, but to also allow me to be a good mom? Like there were times where I'm like, I feel like such a crappy mom. Like I am on my computer all day and that's just not what I wanted. Like when I wanted to be home and run a business from home. I wanted that flexibility. And, you know, it was me putting that pressure on myself, but that's just really something that I've kind of had to learn is when to ask for help, when to say no, and when to step back and be okay with it.
Yeah, because I'm thinking that you probably can look back and see what your mother's role was on the farm and the ranch, and you probably have the same roles and the business and whatnot. So how do you think you manage your time differently than maybe she did back when you were a child? What do you see that you've had to prioritize or fine tune or even just let go of? Like, we're not having amazing home cooked meals every night or whatever those things are. I don't know. Yeah. If you are, lucky you.
No, we are not. I think for me, prioritizing those pockets of time, like as much as I don't want to be, I have had to become a morning person. So I'm up 5:30. I try to get a couple hours of work in. That's where my brain is firing the most. You know, after 1-2 o'clock, it's kind of downhill from there. So I have my most creative, productive hours right away in the morning. So I try to get up and prioritize that solid work block until the first kiddo wakes up. So I have a couple hours in the morning. And then when they wake up, it's kind of snuggles, mom time, play, breakfast. And then, you know, mid-morning, I might do a little bit of work, play a little bit, have lunch, and then have that work time in the afternoon while they're resting or playing or whatever. So I think for me, it was just kind of having their fluid and flexible work chunks, but having those dedicated times that I can work. So that's definitely something I've had to lean in. And then just letting go of the need to have gourmet meals or have the perfect house. Like my husband always tells me, Amber, it does not have to look like we don't live here. So the floor might be dirty. There's dishes. There's laundry. That's okay. Last night we had just like a mix of random leftovers. Everyone was fed. Everyone was happy. It's okay. And I think that's kind of something that I remember my mom feeling like she had to have the clean house, the gourmet meals. And that's something that, you know, kind of her side of the family is very in tune to. They're very creative. They're great cooks. They're great homemakers. Not saying that I'm not, but that is not my strong suit. And I know that. I'm okay with that. My husband's okay with it. You know, we have our rotation of 7-ish meals that we kind of stick to, but it's okay. We're all fed. We're all happy. So that's definitely something that I've had to just let go of and be okay with. I'll also say I have over the last 4 years, kind of every once in a while hired help for cleaning my house because I despise doing it. And at first I felt really guilty for it. I'm like, I'm here all day. Why should I pay someone to clean my house? Well, you know what, Amber? You're doing a lot when you're here. You're running a business. You're raising a family. You're keeping food on the table, even if it's not gourmet. You're doing a lot of things, and it's okay to ask for help. And that's really hard for me. So whether it's help with the house or help with the kids, those are things that I've had to ask for help with. And it's getting easier and easier. And I think that's something that I would encourage all moms, working moms, whatever you are. Like if there's something that you absolutely like despise doing and you can outsource it or ask for help, like do it because it will make you feel so much better. Like coming home to a clean house, knowing I didn't have to spend my Saturday where we can be a family out, you know, together cleaning the house, like it's the best feeling ever.
Yeah. I totally agree.
We agree.
Yeah. So speaking of roles, like what and expectations of roles, especially as women on a ranch, a working ranch, how do you, when you look at, you know, your mom and when she was your age and seeing her roles and expectations, and then here you are today, how does that look and feel different to you? And why is that important?
So my mom did not work outside the home. She was fully mom and there to help dad. And so, you know, she was out there helping pull calves and driving trucks in the harvest field. And that was very much her role, was to serve the family and the people around her. And while that is also my role, I think, you know, I also have the role of business owner and having to, you know, my husband and I have kind of worked out like, okay, these are the bills that I'm taking care of. And I am committed to that. I take responsibility for that because even though we came into, you know, my family's ranching business, we kind of bought that side out. We're building our own thing. And so I understand like what we make on that side has to be reinvested. And so it was, you know, those conversations of how are we splitting the load, both financially and inside the house. You know, we work together very much inside the house, but there are times where, you know, I'll have to go out and help him and that's okay. But I don't get in a truck at harvest. I don't do that. He knows that. I don't think he would want me to do that. But, you know, I always tell him like, I'm here. If you need me to go run and check these heifers for you so that you don't have to do that, you know, whatever you need me to do, I'm here. I can help you do that. But also, you know, I had to call on him this morning. Hey, I have a podcast interview. I need you to take the kids for an hour and pick Judd up from preschool. So we each have our distinct roles, but also we're very much kind of helping each other out, calling on each other, leaning on each other. And I think that's a little bit more kind of fluid and flexible than my parents had, where my mom was strictly kind of doing the mom thing, the there for dad thing, and not running a business while she was doing it.
I'd like to kind of dive in a little bit on the communication and I'm going to throw the word conflict resolution because I sensed in the article and how we've chatted that transitioning to buying part of the ranch and making you and your husband making new decisions as your own family and whatnot. How have you guys managed like some of the tough conversations or change in beliefs or values or goals? You know, you mentioned legacy in your article a couple of times that that's what you and your husband would like to build. So,
because yeah. Our listeners are listening to this thinking, I mean, there's family business, there's being in business with their family, and then there's like generational ranching businesses. And that's just got so many more levels to it, right? That can complicate, and there's just so much more invested.
Yeah. So tell us about that.
How did you navigate?
Yes. And this was part of the article that I know was it, like I had to get it pulled out of me because it's tough. It's tough to put it into words. My dad farmed and ranched. So we have lots of farm ground and lots of cattle. So he did both. And that was very stressful. And I think, you know, it led to depression and some negativity and sometimes resenting it, I think, which I get. But I know deep down, like he wanted to keep it in the family and wanted to make it work and wanted someone to come back. And that's always what I wanted. Like I couldn't have imagined myself doing anything else. And so when I met my husband and learned that this is what he wanted to do, even though he didn't grow up like that, it felt right. And so when we came back, they kind of started working together. My husband just worked for him, helping him with the cows and the farming, and then kind of took on that responsibility with the cattle because that's what he's super passionate about. He'll help with farming, but that's not his passion. And so there were a lot of different tough conversations around work-life balance because, you know, my dad doesn't really have that, and we wanted that for our family. And so that was very hard to navigate. It was very hard for me because I felt stuck in the middle. Like, obviously, I love my dad, I love my husband, but when it comes down to it at the end of the day, the family I have to fight for is the one inside my four walls. And so I had to kind of stand up for what my husband and I wanted for our family, even though that was very kind of different ideas than my dad might have had. And so that was very hard. I felt very caught in the middle. And then, you know, my husband does not want to ruffle feathers. I would ruffle feathers. He did not want to ruffle feathers. So it kind of led to me feeling, you know, like I was second on the priority list for a long time when they were working together. And this kind of went on, you know, over the years. And we just kind of realized that us working together was not what was best for anyone in the family. It just felt like it was business and family kind of went by the wayside, and it affected everyone. It affected my mom. It affected me. It affected the kids. It affected, you know, my sister and her family that lived close to us as well. Like when we came together as a family, there was definitely that kind of like storm cloud in the room where we were trying to separate business away, but it seemed impossible. And so, you know, after lots of tough conversations, my husband and I kind of decided like, we want to keep this in the family. We want to take over the ranching side. We've invested 7-8 years of our life into this. That's what we want to do. That's what he's passionate about. We want to create this legacy for our family and keep it going. But we realized that working closely together was not what was best for our family as a whole. And so that's when we made the decision to buy out the cattle side, and that we own that. My dad farms, we still help him with harvest, but we had to, there had to be a little bit of separation to allow us to do things our own way and move forward and have the freedom to do that, but still kind of preserve that family relationship. And that was very hard. And it came with lots of hard conversations. But deep down, like, my husband and I knew that's what was best. And my parents did too, even though maybe we didn't all want to admit it, but we kind of knew that was what was best. So that's kind of where we're at now. We've bought the ranching site out. We've bought a piece of land. It'd be 10 miles from my family's farm. And that's kind of where we're taking my family's ranch and starting our new beginning from that. Kind of building, we're in the process, almost all of the cattle kind of working facility is done. And then this summer we'll start on our house, but it's still close, but it's far enough away that we can kind of feel like we can breathe. And like I said, as hard as it was, and as many tough conversations and fights and venting and, you know, things that just felt impossible to get through as there was, I think we all feel so at peace with where we're at now, knowing that that was the right choice and that we can both kind of move forward as a family and support each other in both different sides, the ranching and the farming, but feel okay doing it our own way and kind of moving forward the way that we both want to.
Can I ask you, what was the glue? What was the communication tool? What was the thing that enabled you to do that? Because sometimes in tough conversations, people just say, ah, I'm out of here. This isn't, you know, I'm leaving the situation. What did you and your husband put into action to help facilitate that? Because, I mean, it sounds like you worked at it for a while. It wasn't easy. What was that? Could you speak to that? Because we don't always learn good communication skills as we're growing up. We're just, you know, we're little sponges.
We see what our parents
do. Yeah, we learn in school. And so some of us don't have a toolkit of communication skills. So tell me, what was that glue that helped you guys work through that?
It's funny because when we would get into these heated conversations, I call them, my dad and I are very much alike. We are very passionate and we kind of almost go at each other. And then my mom and my husband are very calm and they don't want conflict. And so we have like two completely different sides in the room. But I think the glue that really, you know, as much as my dad was very, you know, as much as the conversation was focused on business, after maybe the heat settled, we all kind of came back to like the realization that this is family. And if we can't work it out, then let's be real. Like, things are never going to be the same and what that family tie could fall apart. And I think a lot of it came back to my mom kind of stepping up, which is outside of her comfort zone so much, and saying, if we don't work this out, we're going to lose each other. And is that what we want? Because there were points within the last 10 years where my husband and I were like, is this what we want? Is it worth it? Should we move on? And those were conversations. And I think deep down, I knew, yes, like there were times where I wanted to be done and I wanted a fresh start, but I'm like, I don't want to move us away from our family because his parents are very close too. I said, is that really what we want? You know, in the heat of the moment, yeah, that sounds great, but is that really what we want? And it's not. And I think for my mom, the thought of us not being as close as we are was heartbreaking, and it was to me too. And so we both knew, at the end of the day, we've got to make this work, even if it means separating, whatever we have to do, because at the end of the day, we are family and we want to remain that way. And we want our kids to grow up hanging out at their house and them coming over and kind of getting over that hump that I felt like we had been climbing for 8 years, those hard conversations and the tension, like we just had to get over that hump because in the end, we did not want our family to fall apart because of the things that we had gone through together. So that led us to that decision.
How did that change you? Because
you stole my question.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm asking it.
Elbow me.
I'm going to. Yeah, that like hearing all that you've gone through with your family and your own family unit. How has that? What has that developed in you as a woman?
Oh gosh, I think a lot of things: patience, communication skills, a really good idea of, you know, what, as we're building and we have a son and a daughter who are obsessed with the ranch and what they're doing, like a good idea of what, how we want to set things up moving forward so that we don't have to go through that with our own kids, you know, kind of what opportunities, you know, how are they going to work with my husband if that's what they want to do? How are we going to kind of balance that if Judd grows up and moves home with a wife and kids and wants to take over or help out? How will we navigate those things? So I think just taking those lessons to help us be better ranchers, better parents, better partners, better, you know, working together if that's something they want to do, kind of learning from what we've been through and what maybe we don't want to do moving forward, but also just like a new appreciation of our family. Like, we've made it through some hard shit together. And I think that's something to be proud of, I guess, even though maybe I wasn't proud of how every conversation went and I didn't walk away from every conversation feeling good, but knowing that we've made it through hard things with the people that we're closest with. So, you know, I feel like any conflict that comes my way, whoever it is, we can get through it.
What a solid thing to know that you have within yourself, because not everybody gets there, right? And people can carry bitterness and resentment for years, and then the relationships fall apart, and mm-hmm. that's life, right?
And they're qualities that only hard experiences can develop in us. We can't, like, if life is just easy, we don't get to face and grow that way. So,
yeah. Right. So let me put a different hat on here. If you were a saleswoman selling the ranching lifestyle, what would you tell somebody who's maybe got a glamorized that you're just saddling up every day and moseying out and checking the cows?
How would you sell it? And then what warnings would you give?
You know, you don't control the markets. You don't control the weather. You don't control so much of it. And it is hard and it's not glamorous, but it is so rewarding and it has like its own magic around it. Like just being able to go out and see how passionate my husband is tending to the animals and seeing new life and taking care of them and just knowing that, you know, that's how God created things to be. And I really look at my husband as like a shepherd. Like he is taking this creation and caring for it and caring for the land. And then being able to see that through my kids' eyes and just see how lit up they are and how they're learning hard work and why we do the things that we do and seeing it through their eyes and just being able to look around and see the creation and the magic around us, which you probably don't see in a city, you know, when it's clouded by lights and all the things, and just knowing that it's our responsibility to take care of this. And we have this opportunity to take care of this land and these animals and feed America and feed the world. It's a big responsibility and one that I don't think a lot of people know. They go to the grocery store and they buy their beef and that's that. But getting back to the root of it, it's caring for the animal from the time they're born to the time they leave you. And just that whole process, and just, it's so rewarding, even though it's so difficult along the way. But I don't know. It's just, it's rewarding. It's challenging. It's beautiful. It's messy. It's all the things. And for me, I've never known any different. And so, you know, I went to I call it a city. It was not a city to most people for college. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. Like, this is not for me. And I think it's a lifestyle that if you are meant for it, you know that. And some people aren't, and that's okay. But yeah, it's glamorous, but it's also not.
Yeah.
I love in your article. So, and we haven't said the name of it. And so you named your article Back in the Saddle, A Journey Through Life, Motherhood, and Coming Back Home. And I love how you started your article describing being on the back of a horse, horseback riding, and then you end your article in the same way. And I think that was just such a beautiful symbolism of really fighting for the life that you and your husband wanted and finding your way back home, but in your own terms, on your own means. Can you tell us a little bit about that or dive a little bit into that? Because I think, first of all, if someone's never been on the back of a horse, how would you describe that feeling? And what does that mean to you?
It's just like the most freeing feeling. And there's also like a special bond that comes with a horse. They can feel every single thing that you're feeling with you on the back of them. You know, if you are anxious and you're tight, they can feel that, and then they won't perform well for you. And so it's just really, for me, it was not only freeing. You know, as a little girl, I thought it was fun. You get on the back, you go so fast. But now as an adult, it's almost like self-care. I get on the back and I know that like, it's time to relax, and me and the horse are together, and you're riding out and kind of having just that peaceful time with yourself. And I think that was, you know, I rode from a very young age and then took a very, very long break and then just kind of got back in the saddle literally in the past few years. And I think that's a big symbol just of life, being this little kid and carefree and on the back of a horse. And then life happens. You go through all these things. You grow up, took a break, had kids, kind of felt like I lost myself. I didn't know, you know, what my purpose was beyond being a mom and feeding little kids and playing on the floor. But then coming back to that, you know, what I love and who I am and getting back on a horse and kind of finding myself again in that. And literally in life too, finding myself, you know, getting back to healthy habits and things that I enjoy doing and having a little bit more work-life balance. It kind of brought it full circle to me. And this entire article, I kind of got the idea and wrote in my head on one of our rides last summer. And I remember getting back in the pickup and like dropping some notes in my phone, because I was like, I had just been inspired in that moment, and it kind of came full circle to me. It's freeing, and it's kind of brings you back to earth and back to yourself and back home, literally.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I want to ask you, it's kind of maybe a fun thing, but you know, you talked about the difference between, you know, town life or city life. I want to dive in on clothing, because I know when Erin does her chicken chores, she's got jackets that are dirty and ripped, and they would never go to town. Like, those clothes are not going
or
to
the
town.
Boots, yeah.
So town clothes versus everyday clothes. Because again, I want to shed some light for the woman who's listening, who she gets dressed in the morning and that's what she wears for the day. And if she's going to change into PJs, you know, after 8 at night, there you go. But what's the difference between town clothes and everyday clothes in your life? Like,
and
paint that picture.
House clothes.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Tell us about that. Because when, you know, I've just been in lots of farming, ranching situations. People say, well, get your town clothes on. But somebody might not know, what the heck does that mean?
A good car today.
That's right.
Maybe I'm not the person to ask this, because I'm loves to be comfy. So I'm in leggings and a sweatshirt. And if my husband needs me, I throw my muck boots and my Carhartt on. But then I'll come home and put on like my tennis shoes and my not poop covered coat and go to town. So I am a very practical, like, I wear what I'm comfortable in. I can ranch. I can take care of kids. I can go to the coffee shop. I can have a business meeting. My wardrobe encompasses all of that. But I would say ranch clothes, jeans, something comfy on top, you know, something that if it's going to get ripped or pooped on or whatever, you don't care about it. Town clothes, something a little bit nicer. But for me, I kind of do the wardrobe that fits for anything. So
what is your rodeo best look? What would that be?
I do have cowgirl boots that I got in college, and they are my all-time favorite. They've got like a sparkly cross on them. I've worn them for my engagement pictures, my wedding, my baby showers. They've been with me through every stage of life. I will never get rid of them. I love them so much. Every time we go somewhere, someone comments on my boots, and my husband jokes with me like, oh, somebody else is going to comment on your boots today. I say, well, you're just jealous commenting on your boots, but whatever. So it's those with a pair of skinny jeans or flares, and then just like a fun kind of boho Western top. That's kind of my vibe. I love bright colors. I know neutrals are kind of the trend, but I am a bright color girl. And so as we're kind of designing our house, I'm kind of trying to figure out ways to bring pops of color in. Like I love turquoise and rustic things and the bright colors and kind of the Aztec and Southwest vibes. And luckily my husband likes those things too. So we're going to incorporate that. My house will not be all white. It will be colorful. So just bringing color into my wardrobe is really what I like to do, whether it's a sweatshirt or whether it's my rodeo attire. But it's just kind of my way of like breathing freshness and life and positivity into my day and into the people that I'm around. So,
and cool. And do you have a hat?
A lot of ball caps that I wear just here and there, and then cowgirl hats. And yeah, I love to accessorize. So my sister was actually made jewelry for several years. So I would sit down with her and make different big chunky turquoise pieces and just fun kind of Western pieces. So I've got a whole jewelry stash of different things like that. So that's fun to accessorize with.
Oh, totally. Cool. I love that. So Amber, thank you so much for coming on. And first of all, submitting your article. I think our readers, there's so many pieces, whether they live a ranching lifestyle or not, that are relatable as a woman and a mother and a woman in business. Where are all the places that people can get in touch with you?
Yes. So thank you guys so much for having me. It was an honor to be featured in the magazine and here on the podcast, but I am just at Amber Kindler on Instagram and Facebook. So that's kind of where you can find me there.
And when you are accepting new clients, yeah, tell us, this yeah. is your like chance to spill the dirt or
yeah, what? Pitch.
Pitch. Yeah.
Instagram will be where to find me there at Amber Kindler. And like I said, I've always wanted to share our story and our ranching lifestyle. And so over the years of all of my different business ideas and all the things that I've thrown out there, a blog and a way to share our story has always been at the heart of it and something that I have never lost sight of. So like I said, I'm kind of in that season of stepping back from work and leaning into family. But as I do that, I don't know, I feel like every time I'm pregnant or I'm getting ready to literally birth a human, I have all these ideas that I want to birth at the same time. And so, you know, it might be my year to do that. So that will definitely come someday. I don't know what day that will be, but Instagram is where you would hear about it. So.
Absolutely.
And thanks Amazing. Thanks for being so candid with us. Just sharing a little bit behind the scenes, because a lot of women, a lot of even men who are listening to this don't really have a sense of what the lifestyle is like. So thanks for doing that. Appreciate it.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think a big thing, just any woman listening, like, that I would want you to take away is no matter, you know, whether you live a ranching lifestyle or not, just know that whatever hard thing comes your way, you will find your way through it. And even if you feel like you've lost yourself in motherhood or business or whatever it is, like I say in the article, like that version that you're looking for, she's still in there and you will find her. It's just keep showing up, keep fighting for what you know is right and fight for your family and stand up for that. And that will lead you back to, you know, that person inside of you and whatever your version of home is. Kind of looking back at all the peaks and valleys of my life and my story, I feel like that's kind of my main theme. Like after all of these things that we've gone through and, you know, sifted through, finding what's important to you, finding who you are, and just coming back home to yourself. And for me, quite literally coming back home.
Thanks for capping it off that way. I really think our listeners and our readers of the magazine will get that through your storytelling, that you're a perfect example of what you just said. So yeah, thanks for being you too.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll keep in touch. Yeah.
Wasn't that such a great conversation? If you're like us and love learning through the power of storytelling, head on over to our website, www.trailblazerco.com, for loads of valuable stories and ideas just like from today's episode.
And while you're at it, be sure to subscribe to our weekly newsletter and have Trailblazer insights from yours truly, recipes, DIYs, and more delivered straight to your inbox every week. Catch you next time, Trailblazers.